This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, I couldn't understand why this old man was crying for. And the Messenger of Allah said, oh Abu Bakr, calm down. Abu Bakr, calm down. Abu Bakr couldn't calm down. Abu Bakr was crying. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has done me a favor in this dunya, I've repaid him. As for Abu Bakr, Allah will repay him on the day of judgment. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I was to take a friend, it would have been Abu Bakr, but the brother of Islam is enough. And then the Messenger of Allah said, in the virtue of Abu Bakr, he said, all the doors around the masjid should be closed besides the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr comes out and he sees the chaos. And today he doesn't cry. Why doesn't he cry? Because Allah destined this weak-bodied person to be the next caliph. And he stands up and he says, Umar, calm down. And Umar is carrying on. And then he gives a khutbah. He said, Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. He said, whoever worship Muhammad, then let him know that Muhammad has passed unto his Lord. And whoever worships Allah, then let him know that Allah is alive and death does not befall Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he recited the verses which were revealed on the Battle of Uhud. Battle of Uhud, these verses were revealed. That if Muhammad passes, Muhammad is but a messenger. And messengers before him have passed. If he dies or is killed, will you then turn on your heels? For if you turn on your heels, you will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an iota. Umar says, when he recited this verse, it was as though this verse was revealed today, and I realized that the Messenger of Allah had left this dunya, and I fell, and my legs could no longer hold me, and I fell to the ground. You know, Imam Qurtubi says, listen to this. Imam Qurtubi says, that the greatest bravery ever performed in the history of this ummah was this of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. At the demise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they call it emotional bravery, emotional courage. When you have a musibah, that shows how much steel that you have. The Messenger of Allah says, whenever difficulty befall you, remember my demise, and it will dwarf your difficulty. The greatest example of bravery was this of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He showed steel. You know what Umar would say? Umar would say, radiallahu anhu, he said, I would give the ibadah and my good actions of my entire life for a day and a night in the life of Abu Bakr. A day and night in the life of Abu Bakr. You know what that day was? That day was when he spent the day in the cave with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know that night was? The night that the Messenger of Allah passed away. Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the man regarding who the Messenger of Allah said, if there was a prophet to come after me, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab. He's saying that if for a day and night in the life of Abu Bakr, I would give my entire actions. And then you move on. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu becomes the next caliph. So he's the caliph now. But what's happened in the Muslim world? What's happened in the Muslim world is that the Muslim world has now rebelled. The vast majority of Muslims rebelled in one form or the other. Some became outright murtad, some refused to give the zakat. So now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the Amir. The last command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that the army of Osama bin Zayd should be dispatched. This army had all the warriors of Islam in this. They reached a place outside Medina called Juruf, and they heard that the Messenger of Allah is ill, and they camped there. They didn't move. Now the Messenger of Allah passes away, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, we're going to dispatch this army and it's going to go to the Romans. The Sahaba said, what are you doing, Abu Bakr? Abs and Zibyan, two major tribes, are now deciding to attack Medina, and you are dispatching an army which has all the soldiers of Islam. He said, this is suicide. So they sent Umar ibn Khattab to speak to Abu Bakr. And Umar ibn Khattab says, he says, oh Abu Bakr, armies are attacking Medina. They're only a little way away. And you are dispatching this army? Listen to the reply of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, it was the command and the desire of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to dispatch this army. He said, by Allah, I will never withhold the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I swear by Allah, if I have to defend Medina all by myself, I will defend Medina all by myself. Then I swear by Allah, if I knew predatory animals would drag my body outside Medina dead, I will still dispatch this army. And he dispatched this army with all the eminent Sahaba. The commander and the general of this army was a man called Osama bin Zayd. Osama bin Zayd was the beloved of the Messenger of Allah, and at this time he was only 18 years old. So they went back to Umar, they said, okay, if he's adamant he's going to dispatch this army, then do us a favor. Tell him that Osama is too young. There's too much chaos going on. Change the general. So Umar goes back to speak to Abu Bakr. And he says to Abu Bakr, he said, Abu Bakr, the Sahaba are saying that Osama is too young. There's too much going on. Replace him with an older commander. The narrations mention that Abu Bakr was sitting down. He jumped up. He grabbed the beard of Umar ibn Khattab. He said, oh Umar, may your mother lose you. Do you want me to demote a man who the Messenger of Allah made the general? And Umar put his head down. Do you want me to demote a man who the Messenger of Allah made the general? Umar got up after a while and he left. He went out and the Sahaba said, what happened? What happened, Umar? He said, may your mothers all lose you. May your mothers all lose you. This is what happened. He dispatched the army. There's tribes that were attacking Medina just after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, let me tell you a statement here. Remember this statement if you remember nothing else. The Sahaba loved the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No people loved the Messenger of Allah like the Sahaba did. 3 days after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the army was dispatched. Sheikh Salabi says, even the mourning of the Sahaba was through actions. They mourned, but they did their actions. They didn't sit on their backsides. Then Umar came and he said, Khalifat Rasulullah, Abu Bakr, calm down now. Now you want to fight all the Arab tribes? You dispatch the army? He said, be gentle with them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when a person says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, his blood and his life is sacred and his wealth is sacred. Relax. Relax. Umar is telling who? Abu Bakr. He said, these people are reciting La ilaha illallah. Abu Bakr said, listen, if a person withholds a string of zakat which he gave in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will fight that person. And then he said to Umar, La ilaha illallah. He said, Umar, Ajabbarun fil jahiliya wa khawarun fil Islam. He said, oh Umar, were you brave in jahiliya? Have you become a coward in Islam? Ajabbarun fil jahiliya wa khawarun fil Islam? Were you brave before Islam? Umar was known, and you become a coward? And this is what they call moral courage. You have a standpoint and you stand that standpoint. I want to leave you with these words. Brothers, sisters, what kind of courage do you have? As a group of people, what kind of courage do you have? Do you have any courage at all? Or are you throwing in the towel? No emotional courage, no physical courage, no moral courage. Since 9/11, you look at the Muslim state, you apologize for everything. Something happens in France, you apologize. Something happens somewhere else, has it helped you at all? Not an iota. Not an iota. It's gone from bad to worse. You make excuses. You know, let me ask you a question. Who's an Islamophobe here? Put your hands up, who's an Islamophobe? Any Islamophobes here? The worst form of Islamophobia is when you internalize it. When you become an Islamophobe and you don't even realize. When you use rhetoric which was created by the Islamophobes, so you use rhetoric like, oh, extremist, moderate. What does a moderate Muslim mean? Nobody knows. It's create to you, to Quilliam, all of you are extremists. So what rhetoric are you using? Islamist. You've become an Islamophobe without knowing. You've internalized the belief. They created rhetoric for you and you adopted it. Something happens at school. Somebody comes with Islamophobic statement. You say nothing. You sweep it under the carpet. The Prophet said, Allahumma inni a'udhubika min al-jubr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being a coward. Cowardice, I seek refuge from you. And this is the state. You complain about your leaders being a bunch of cowards. But you can't even speak out. Something. And I'm not saying everybody has to take it up with the government. But in your areas, the next time, listen, the next time you tell your children not to do something because they're Muslims, then you have created your children into second-class citizens. That's what you've done. If you tell your child at school, don't say this, but all the other children can say it, then you have made your children, then you have made your children into second-class citizens. And by Allah, remember this. If you don't respect yourself, nobody will respect you. If you're a coward yourself, if you don't have the bravery to stand up and speak, nobody else would ever respect you. And this is what's happened to the Muslim Ummah. You're always apologizing. The only reason you start food banks and homeless projects is why? You ask everybody, oh, we're getting bad press. We want to go give a good impression. You're British as much as a cup of tea. What a load of rubbish. A cup of tea. Does anybody else have to say that? So why are you saying it for? See, I was born in this country, and from day dot, I was told I am an equal citizen. And by Allah, I will never live on my knees. You know why I won't live on my knees? Because if I live on my knees, I'm etching the way for my children to live on their stomachs. Then I will not do that. You look at the life of the Messenger of Allah, social courage. Abu Bakr, emotional courage. And listen me out. I'm not trying to hype up a group of youngsters here. Because you know youngsters, they cause more problems than good often. But leadership needs this. We need to be brave. We need to be courageous. This is what our deen teaches us. Don't internalize. Don't internalize your fears. Don't become Islamophobes without realizing you become Islamophobes. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be positive citizens for this country. The greatest, listen, the greatest proliferator of terrorism is what? It's foreign policy. All academic reports say that. Every single academic report says that the greatest proliferator of terrorism is foreign policy. Who is foreign policy created by the government? Have you ever heard the government apologize for terrorism? Have you ever heard them say Iraq was a mistake, Afghanistan was a mistake, what we done, Palestine was oppression? Never. But you know when you apologize, you've accepted, firstly, that the problem lies with you. Oh, Fulan Sheikhs, I got it, brother. Fulan Sheikhs, this and Fulan Sheikhs, that. You know, and you say, yeah, disassociation. Don't call that Sheikh. You love that Sheikh. You know everything he says is right, but you disassociate yourself from that Sheikh. Have they ever apologized? So what are you apologizing? I want to leave this message with you. The life of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, is a source of great inspiration. I've only spoke about his courage, but I want to couple courage with good actions. If you start a food bank, if you start a homeless project, do it for the sake of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. The only reason we feed you is for the sake of Allah. We don't want any jaza or shukr from you. We don't want any recompense. Do food banks. Do homeless projects. Be good to your neighbors. It's an excellent opportunity. We never did it before. We got an opportunity. But don't do it because you're getting bad press. I'll tell you why. Because the day you will be out of the media is the day that you will stop. And we don't do it for that sake. We are what Allah defines in the Quran. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ إِنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You are the best of people. Allah has taken out the best ummah for humanity. Humanity must see your khair. Humanity must see your good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the greatest ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guys say ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be with the Messenger of Allah and the likes of Abu Bakr on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya and reunite us in Jannatul Firdaus. Barakallahu feekum. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.